This is James Robertson. I'm here with Jack Quinn and Chris Gruntner, who we're going to talk about the DLC, Dawnguard. We're going to kind of wrap up this part of the conversation about the DLC, probably talk about the Vampire quest line, since we've covered the Dawnguard piece of that pretty well in the last couple of podcasts. However, we have news first. Now, before I get to the news, let me just let both you guys say hello.
Hi, I'm Jack.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chris.
Okay, so we actually have news today, too. It looks like the Dawnguard DLC just released for PC, although it also looks like the PS3 fans are pretty much out on a lurch again.
I play on PS3 a lot, too. I've been playing Dawnguard at my friend's house for the most part, and it's really disappointing to see that it's not going to be coming to my system anytime
soon. Oh, so you mostly play on PS3?
Yes, but for Dawnguard, I went to my friend's house and played through most of both sides.
Ah, okay. So you're in one of the... So actually, you can comment then on the what it's like to be one of the people who's just utterly screwed out of this at this point in time.
Yeah, I really don't see... A lot of people say there's a lot of bugs, and I really haven't found much besides Alduin completely glitching out and not letting me kill him or leave.
Okay.
Which well, is a pretty bad one.
The thing that I figured was happening, why we didn't get the DLC right at the 30-day mark for the PC, was because Sony hadn't certified the new patch. Now, I guess it's more than just the certification. That was what I thought it was, that it just wasn't certified. Maybe there's some back and forth between Bethesda and Sony, I don't know. But there have been performance issues on the PS3 platform since the launch, right?
A little. I mean, I haven't found much of it.
I actually have seen it. I had a couple of weeks ago, I had my cousin over here, and I do a podcast with him as well, and he's told me about a couple of things that have happened to him. There was a water glitch where as soon as they would go into the water, the game would freeze on you, or the FPS would just slow way down to almost a crawl and or stop. Couple of save issues, just all in all, just a couple of minor things, but yeah, there have been some issues with the PS3.
See, now I wonder if it has to do with how many saves you have, too, because I remember back when I was playing Fallout on the Xbox, Fallout 3, that is, as I got up to having lots and lots and lots of saves, it got really bad. I mean, we get to the point where it crashed the Xbox on a fairly regular basis, just by having lots of saves around.
Now, I wanted to ask you, James, and maybe Jack, maybe you would have something to put in on this, too, but I'm not the only one who plays Skyrim on my Xbox. I have two stepchildren, and my wife also play it, and they all have their own accounts. So do you think that might have any sort of problems with that as well?
I don't think so, and I think that's because, well, my daughter's going through Fallout 3, which I had a lot of issues with the buildup of saves I had, and she has not run into any problems at all, and that's an older game, ultimately same basic engine. And she's also gone through Skyrim and hasn't had any problems with that either.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say, because nobody else plays on my PlayStation for like Skyrim and other games like that.
All right. Yeah. I was just checking on it.
Yeah, I don't think that has much of an impact. I think the only thing that I can think of that might have an impact is just the sheer number of saves you have on any given account. Maybe it's because they load all that stuff into memory when it goes to that screen, and you know, if you have a couple hundred saves, maybe that's a problem. I know on the Xbox with Fallout 3, they limit you to 100 saves.
Wow.
I don't know if they limit Skyrim. I don't think they do, but then again, I don't think I tried to keep the number of saves down because I was worried about that.
Yeah, I've only got like 4 saves in total on my PlayStation.
Well, same here.
I pared it down. I think I have like 15 now, but I pared it way down to make sure that I only kept the most recent one for each of the characters I played so that I wouldn't have a confusion as to which one I was dealing with. So, anyway, to get to the topic at hand, how far have you guys gotten with the Vampire quest line?
I have gotten up to the point where I am defeating Harkin.
Oh, okay. So you're actually fighting Harkin.
Yeah, and I'm having trouble with that, with glitches, actually.
I played it that way where there's a couple of different ways you can get to that ending. When you get to the ending, I guess you can, well, I don't know, can you side with Harkin or do they force you to fight him? Because I actually just fought him.
I've heard that even if you give him the bow and no matter what you do, you have to fight him. It's just the ending to the game.
Okay. I kind of figured that's how it was going to go, but I wasn't entirely certain since I decided I was going to whack him anyway.
Yeah, he's not exactly the nicest person.
That kind of goes without saying. And I guess, Chris, you had been having some issues on the Xbox the last time we talked, but I guess you found your way around those.
Yes, I did, and I still have them from time to time. The FPS issues, just the frames slowing down on me, and I really don't know why. My auto saves are turned off. I've got it, like I said, down to four manual saves, and whenever that happens, it's a pain in the butt for me. But I save the game right where I am. Turn off my Xbox and I load it back up, and I'm good for at least a good couple hours
Well,
after that.
here's a suggestion, because I had a situation on the Xbox where I think it was in Morthal, where every time I would go, and it may not have been Morthal, it's been a while since I was in this part of the game. There was a certain area I would go to where I would take five steps into an area, and bam, the whole Xbox would freeze up. It was reliable. Go in. I thought maybe if I saved it in a slightly different spot, it wouldn't happen. But no, every time I get to a certain location, bam, five or six steps in, bam, crash. And just lock the Xbox up. And what I did on the Xbox, if you clear the game cache, that seems to resolve that issue.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna have to check into that, because even my stepson is having the same problem, and he's doing. I didn't have this problem on the werewolf side, and I completed all that, but I'm only having it on the vampire side. And right now I'm in that Forgotten Veil area or Vile area.
Where you're doing
And
the where you're walking through all the various way shrines.
yep. And it's just after those two dragons that come out of the ice. That went fine, but it's just walking around now, hitting water once in a while, like the PS3, just slowing me down, and I'm like, oh no, not again. So I'm gonna have to give that a shot.
Yeah, I would clear the game cache. I think that'll solve your problem on the Xbox. I know when you have these problems on PC, it's typically related to mods. And as if you guys listened to the last podcast you did with Michael,
Yeah,
you know that you
poor
can have
guy.
massive problems with mods on the PC.
Oh, I feel so bad for him right now, having that all that time into his game, and now he can't even finish.
No, it's just it has to do. We went into more technical detail than most people are probably interested in, but basically, the two of us, Michael and I, have some background in systems that are somewhat similar to the engine that runs Skyrim, and I don't mean the graphic side of it, just the state changing part of that whole thing. And when these things get borked, they just get borked. There's just nothing you can do about it.
The biggest problem that I've had with glitches and stuff was Serena, when we were doing the way shrine thing. She would get stuck and wouldn't move, and after restarts wouldn't move, and I had to go back to a save a few times. She just wouldn't respond.
Now, I've had situations with Serana and I guess other NPC, other players, companions over the course of the game where sometimes when you go into an area, they'll get stuck trying to path their way through you, and they can just it can take them eons. There have been characters that I was sure died somewhere and I just missed it. And they hadn't actually died. It was just like I'd be 2 hours later in gameplay and suddenly I'd see them running up in the distance because they got lost. And, I've had something even nastier happen. I looked this up. I can't take any of the trolls or the dog, if I'm playing the Dawnguard side, I can't take any of those as companions because at some point in the distant past of the character I've got, I've got a character that's like level 74 now on the Xbox. And at some point in the distant past, I ran across the stray dog that can be a companion. And that dog got lost. I have no idea where it is. On the Xbox, you don't have the console, so I can't summon it. And I looked up on the wiki, and it turns out that if the dog gets lost, sometimes you just never see the dog again.
Oh wow.
I know how to fix it, James.
Okay, go ahead, because I thought there was no fix.
There is a fix, and because I had the same problem, I wanted to take the trolls and at least the dogs with me. So You need to commit a crime and go to jail.
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, and maybe Bethesda just did this on purpose or whatnot, or maybe they anticipated this happening.
Your companions will leave you at that point?
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. They will just disband from you and go back to wherever they were originally, and when you come out of jail, ta-da, you're free of companions.
So I won't be able to find the dog, but I can at least lose the dog.
Correct, correct. And I did it, and it worked for me. And I remember my dog died, but I don't know why the game didn't catch up and say, hey, your dog is dead.
Well, my dog might have died, for all I know. I don't remember what happened. I mean, the thing is, I had been playing the Xbox, and then I got hardcore about playing on the PC. And mm-hmm. I went back to the Xbox specifically because Dawnguard was out.
Yep.
And I had gotten the dog as a follower at some point in the distant past of this character, and I had no clue where I had gotten him or where he had disappeared. And it was just maddening.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It was. And then I heard somebody either on the Thumcast page or somewhere else. I just looked it up because I really wanted to have him. Even on the vampire side, I had the same problem where I couldn't take one of those hellhounds with me, and I just read somewhere, I can't quite remember, but it said, yeah, just commit a crime, go to jail, when you get out, everybody's, you're pretty much wiped clean.
Well, that's a good tip, because there are plenty of times when you can get companions glitched in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a constant in this, in the entire series of games, both Fallout and this. There was a point in Fallout New Vegas where I had one of my companions get stuck in the middle of a pool table in one of the vaults.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so weird things happen with this engine. Sometimes the collision detection is just not correct.
Or you just end up slaughtering all of them.
I don't think I could reach this one. She was in a point where I couldn't physically reach her. She was just stuck in the middle of a pool table. It was the weirdest damn thing I'd ever seen.
Wow.
I've pretty much given up on companions in Skyrim because I just kill them all.
Yeah, that's why we did an episode early on that I titled They Die Like Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kill companions like crazy. I don't know what it is. I just can't stop shooting them with arrows. Serana's lived a long time. She's a lot tougher. She has crap loads of hit points.
But yeah. During the storyline, she's completely immortal.
Oh,
yeah, and,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps too.
And then speaking on Serana being glitched and whatnot, walking through those waypoint areas, I had the same thing, and I just, no offense to Serana or anything, I just kept right on going. I knew every time I would go through a loading door or whatnot, she would be right there behind me.
Right.
And, you know, sure enough, she was right there. I'm pretty tough enough to handle it without her. You know, she's more of a distraction, you know, go kill her while I'm pew-pewing you from a distance.
Now,
so,
to talk about those dragons for a bit, you know, when I went through that twice, of course. I went through with my Dawnguard side character, and I went through once on the vampire side.
Mm-hmm.
When I went through on the vampire side, I had a character that was much lower level, because on the Xbox, the only character I had around that I felt like carrying in there to play evil was an assassin type that hadn't even progressed the main plot. At the point I picked that character back up, I hadn't even gotten all three parts of the Unrelenting Force shout. All I had was Foose. I didn't have Ro or Da.
Oh, okay.
So I had been ignoring the entire main quest with that character. So she was level 39. She'd done the Assassin's Guild and the Thieves Guild and had pretty much ignored everything else. And I went through that part where those dragons were. And, of course, I was wearing shrouded armor. And I figured, you know, light armor, even when you take all the perks all the way up on the light armor side like I had with this character, if you get a dragon close to you, they just toast you. I mean, it's just you don't stand up real well in light armor. I just went full mode sneak. I in that playthrough with that character, that those dragons never saw me. I just snuck right past them.
Yep.
I definitely
That's
knew they were
doing.
Coming.
Yeah. Well, I knew they were coming because I'd played through on the Dawnguard side, so I just decided to sneak past them.
Well, yeah, my first time seeing them, I remember, if you remember in the Dawnguard trailer,
yeah.
They pop out of the ice, and I pretty much figured that that's what was going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same here. And then Serana was like, you know, telling you, doesn't this ice feel really thin? And I was like, okay, something's going to happen here. It's got to be those dragons time now.
Yeah, so that's where I went into sneak into mode and decided, you know what, I don't need no trouble with dragons. I'm just going to avoid the whole thing, sneak past them, and that's going to be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was kind of disappointed about playing the playing that side with the vampires, if you go through the rest of that and you get to the end where you have to face the snow elf who's become a vampire, whose name escapes me at this point, but when you you face him, I was hoping that if you're playing on the vampire side, you could kind of form an alliance with him, but no, you have to fight him.
He also seemed pretty weak to me for, like, this supposed powerful, like, he just kind of got crushed.
Yeah, well, the hard part of that for me with my bruiser character, the guy I took through on the Dawnguard side, I had trouble with the fight, not with him, but with all the minions he sends after you.
Yeah, the frozen foamer and stuff?
Yeah, because the first guy I took through there, he had, like, no sneak ability whatsoever. He was wearing good, solid, heavy armor, and he could beat the crap out of things, but, you know, he couldn't hide from anything to save his life. Now, with the sneaky character I took in there, who had 100 sneak and had taken every perk all the way up through the sneak tree, I just went into stealth, went into a corner. Not a single one of the ice creatures ever detected me. I just kept wailing on them with my bow.
Nice.
And that was the end of them. So, yeah, it's kind of cool, though, that there are so many different ways of playing that. You can either decide to plow your way through the room like I did the first time, or you can just go into stealth and nobody ever sees you.
That's cool.
But, I would have liked it if I could have formed an alliance with him. That would have been kind of cool, I thought. But, you know, they just scripted that out.
After all the rumors of snow elves, when I actually saw one, and after I had pretty much given up hope because it was Dawnguard, not anything to do with snow elves, and then he was there, I was pretty excited.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but really, you don't get that much. I mean, you learn a little bit. They give you some interesting lore on the background where you find out that the dwarves really screwed them over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing you learn about this, and if they ever do something either with the MMO they're coming out with or with any future games they come out with or even future DLC, if they ever give you access to the Dwemer, it seems to me that the Dwemer are just complete jack-offs. I mean, they are not nice people.
No, completely selfish, just out for themselves, yeah.
They really liked to mess with the other races, too, and just completely mess them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the deal they offer the Falmer, for those of you who've gotten this far, the thing about this is that, you know, you learn early on in Skyrim that the Falmer were driven underground in their war with the Nords, and the dwarves just said, yes, we'll take you in. But what you learn in Dawnguard is that they said, yes, we'll take you in if you agree to be blinded.
Yep.
So they turned them into a slave race of blind elves. I mean, it's just...
That's horrible.
Yeah, you find out that the Dwemer were just horrible, horrible creatures. And I guess, you know, at first I wondered what had happened with them all disappearing. And then after you hear this, if you're playing a not terribly evil character, you're figuring, okay, well, they got what was coming to them.
You know, and before Dawnguard, I must say that I was really fascinated with the you know, the Dwemer ruins and the dwarves and whatnot. But now that I've, you know, played through this, I'm like, you know, these guys weren't really nice. I mean, you're probably pretty smart, you know,
yeah.
You know, engineers-wise and everything, but they weren't very nice.
It's like their intelligence made them think that they were, you know, greater and could just do whatever they want, and then
yeah, better,
something happened
better
to
than
them.
Everyone. Yeah.
They got it, what they deserved to do.
I think so, too.
Yeah, no, they were not nice people. But, you know, the other thing that I'll mention about the DLC that you should remember if you're playing it is that as you go through, it's worth your while, and I did this after the fact. I should have done it during the quest line because it would have been far more valuable. But if you're playing the Dawnguard side specifically, and I didn't go back to my vampire character, I probably should because there are probably an equivalent number of quests on that side. But if you play on the Dawnguard side, you can go to various people in the Dawnguard castle, and they'll give you mini-quests.
Yep.
And I guess you can probably get the same thing over on the vampire side, too.
Yes,
yeah, there are other quests there.
I looked it up on the wiki, and I believe there are 12 on each side, 12 additional side quests.
Yeah. And then they kind of go on forever if you're willing to do them, the same way the Dark Brotherhood goes on forever, where they'll keep giving you targets to kill. Mm-hmm. And just like on the Dawnguard side, they'll keep finding vampires for you to kill, or they'll find that some group of vampires has kidnapped some friend of your. If you're married, they'll actually kidnap your wife.
Did you guys know that you can turn your spouse into a vampire as well?
No, I didn't.
That's interesting.
There's a quest for it, and I saw it on the wiki today. On the vampire side, you obviously have to be doing the vampire quest, but there is a side quest that you can actually turn your spouse into a vampire and live eternally forever.
See, now that should have been
Basically.
an achievement. Yeah,
Together,
I
called
thought
like
so too.
together forever or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But that should have been an achievement. Maybe not a high point achievement, but that should have been an achievement.
Yep, I thought so.
Now,
I agree with you, James.
yeah, speaking of achievements, have either of you guys managed to stumble across a legendary dragon? No.
Not yet, no.
Okay,
And
so
I'm a
what's.
level 50, so.
Okay, you're only level 50, Jack. What have you
I
got for the.
think level 60.
Okay, so you guys have relatively low-level characters compared to what I'm playing. I have a guy who's level 74, and I took the time to fast travel to every single one of the dragon craters or dragon word walls.
Yep.
I think I slaughtered four reverent dragons, which I don't know, have either of you run across one of them yet?
No.
They're pretty tough. But I slaughtered four reverent dragons, and I got to the point with those where I just decided, you know, even though I'm not leveling up at all, I have this guy has 100% on his sword and bow. With the reverent dragons, I just pull the bow out and decide I'll just kill them because that's easier. But I ran across a bunch of reverent dragons, a bunch of ancient. I ran across a couple of, at this point, at level 74, completely wimpy frost dragons and blood dragons. Not a single legendary, not one. Everything I read tells me that at level 78 they start showing up, but the difficulty I have is that once you get past something like level 60, the only non-annoying way to level up, and it's annoying enough, is there really at that point you've probably got no quests other than miscellaneous side quests left to do. And I've finished the Stones of Baron Zaya. I've gotten every single word wall, every word wall in the game, every single dragon priest in the game. I mean, there's nothing this character has not done. So the only way he can level up is through exploits. You know, going through and saying, okay, I'm going to stand in the town square and keep casting Detect Life. Because you can get your alteration scale up to 100 as long as you're willing to be bored stiff. So, you know, if you've got a Kindle, you hold the Kindle in one hand and you keep casting Detect Life with the other until you're at 100.
Wow.
And you can level up two or three levels that way. But at this point, I'm at level 74. The only things left are destruction magic, which there's really not an easy exploit past the early game. I mean, I've read various things on the wiki that if you want to exploit it and you're early in the game, you can go to the companions and keep casting it at Farkas when you're supposed to be fighting him, because he'll get irritated that you haven't pulled a weapon out, but he won't go hostile either. So
I
you can.
actually looked at that before and was trying it because I had this character just messing around on, and he glitched out completely, and he would do it forever, and he was following me around, and then eventually they just all went hostile.
Okay, so maybe they patched that over then. I don't know. But the thing is, destruction magic, you have to have a valid target. And restoration magic, I mean, I got to the point where I decided, okay, I'm going to go. I went to Dead Crone's Reach, I guess, way out west of Makarth.
Okay.
And there's a trap that shoots fire at you. And I got restoration magic all the way up by just standing on the trap, getting bathed in fire, and casting fast heal over and over again.
Wow.
And that's, like I said, I actually stopped playing that character because I decided, no, it's not even worth trying to get that achievement because this is just boring. Just boring. I just gave up. I maybe when the next DLC comes out, I can level up to level 78 naturally instead of having to do all this stupid stuff. I just wish the Legendary Dragons would come out earlier because I don't like having to do this kind of thing to get to that achievement.
Yeah, I can see the frustration there.
I was kind of frustrated when you the dragon you get from the Soul Cairn that comes around. He didn't seem to do much, but I mean he taught you the shouts, and then after that he wasn't much help to me.
No, he's like calling Odaving. You know, he'll fly around in circles and he'll periodically breathe on something, but he doesn't seem to be all that helpful.
Did either of you guys find the horse?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
So did I. I thought it was kind of cool to have that, because you can cast that spell in Tamriel as well, not just in the Soul Cairn, and
Yeah.
just
It
jump
was
on the horse whenever you want.
disappointing the amount of magicka it costs if you didn't level that originally. Like on my Dawnguard character, I didn't have the mana to cast it, or the magicka. So I had to spend some levels in that.
That's what I was doing when I was leveling my character, was I started putting all my points into magic specifically so that I could do those stupid exploits.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I have a character now that's actually pretty well balanced. He has a lot of mana, a lot of magic points, he has a lot of stamina, a lot of strength, so he's got a lot of health, rather, he's got a lot of everything. He's actually a pretty tough character, so pretty much nothing in the game is a challenge to him. So,
wow.
So I'm hopeful that more DLC might give him a challenge, but I don't know.
The horse was nice for me because I lost Shadowmere within 5 minutes of starting Dawnguard.
Okay, how did you lose Shadowmere? Because
he died.
Okay, how? I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not mocking either. I've actually killed Shadowmere myself, but I did it in a rather stupid way.
Similar to most other horses, apparently if you fall 5 feet, he'll just splat and die.
Okay, that I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was on another horse, and I just, like, went off a little cliff, like, maybe, like, a couple feet high, and the horse dies, my character tumbles for a minute, and then gets back up, and I mean, it's kind of annoying that they die so easily.
Well, the way I killed Shadowmere most recently was way stupider than that. If you remember it's Valthum Towers or something like that, you find it relatively early in the game as you're walking from Whiterun towards, I guess, Windhelm. Mm-hmm. And you've got that tower with the bandits in it. And it's got the high walkway between the two towers, the bridge over the river. Well, I was chasing the bandits, and Shadowmere, of course, since he'll attack anything, charges up the steps and decides to go across the bridge. I didn't notice he had gotten ahead of me, and so I shouted, did the Fusro dash out. So I propelled 3 bandits and my horse off the bridge into the water.
Oh, no.
That was the end of his life. Yeah, I just found the body down below with the bandits.
Oh, jeez. Whoops.
Yeah, so that was pretty stupid, but, you know, there you go.
That bridge was really annoying to me when I came across a bridge. I'm not sure if it was the same one or not, but where they ask you for me for a toll, and I was just running as a werewolf across that, and she stops the werewolf. Like, the werewolf goes into dialogue with her, and it just...
Seriously, they stopped a werewolf for a toll.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a scripting mistake on the part of Bethesda right there.
And then I just exited that and then killed her and the rest of them.
Yeah, now here's another question. Have either of you, either with the werewolf character or with the vampire, have either of you, after getting as much out of that as you wanted, I mean, I just went through and got all the perks to get that achievement. I just achievement hoarded my way through that. Have either of you actually used those powers, you know, like for real, other than just trying to get the achievement?
Not too much.
I have. I've used a few of them just to kind of get used to them and play around with them. I like the vampire grip. I mean, those are the ones you're talking about, yes?
Yeah. The actual perks in the perk tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've used them. I summon gargoyles. I do the vampire grip. The grip is kind of fun because, you know, even tougher beasts that take a little bit, you can just pick them up and toss them and, you know, it takes them a couple of seconds to get up, which, you know, allows you or your companions to beat on them a couple more times too while they're getting up.
Yeah, I thought that was not for me because it was, you know, you can only do one target at a time and it takes a few seconds, especially if you want to, you know, choke them for a little bit and actually do some damage. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't like the Mistform's description because it was kind of misleading. It said let you regenerate all your stuff, so I kind of thought it would go faster, but it's just your normal non-combat regeneration.
Ah. Yeah, I did them to get the achievements, and I don't think I've gone back. And partly it was because I was on this whole quest to get my level up so that I could get a legendary dragon. And part of why I didn't go back to them was because if you're in either werewolf or vampire form and you're killing things, you're getting experience towards those perks and those trees, but you're not getting experience towards leveling. Yeah, you gain no experience that way. Nothing. Or if you do, it's so minuscule that I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's only for the vampire or werewolf tree. That's it. It doesn't count on your character at all.
Right. So if you're trying to gain levels, it's just like totally useless.
Yep. And speaking of mist form, the really only use that I found for using that, aside from trying to be sneaky with them, Instead of waiting for nightfall, that's when I would use Mistform. Is use that especially right after battles, then my health and stuff like that would regenerate. Yeah, like you said, it was slow, but at least during the day, my health and magicka would regenerate.
Speaking
Yeah.
of daytime, did either of you guys do you guys block out the sun on a regular basis?
I
Do you guys
did
beat that?
not know. Is that's not a permanent effect, is it?
It's a one day,
Yeah.
and then it goes away, and then you have to do it again.
Right, that's what I was wondering because I did it, and my thought had been that given how much Harkon had talked it up, I thought it was a permanent thing, and then I discovered, like you said, I was walking around Solitude, and it's like, well, wait a minute, there's the sun. What's going on with that? And no, it's a one day thing.
And it's also kind of lame how everybody reacts to it. I mean, I like how they react to it, but sometimes I mean, I've had people glitch out and not be able to talk to them because they're talking about how the sun's all scary.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't think that they reacted enough to it. That was what bothered me, was that it seemed like for the most part people just went on as if nothing had happened.
I think, I mean, right when you do it, they kind of, make some comments, but then they just kind of go on they're on with their lives. And in real life, if the sun suddenly turned red and dark, people, I mean, chaos would it be crazy.
Well, unless you were up in Winterhold, then they'd just figure it was another one of those crazy stunts by the college mages. Those guys knocked half the city into the water already. What more can they do?
That'd be interesting if Bethesda did that. If you blocked it out there, they'd just be like, crazy mages, what are you doing now?
That would be a cool thing. I don't know that they did it, but that would be a cool thing if they did. All right. So, anybody have any closing thoughts on the vampire stuff before we close this out?
Not really.
I would recommend, because I did a few of them, do some of the side quests before you start jumping into the main storyline of each of the factions there. Because you'll gain a little more power and whatnot. And I dug up on the wiki and can't remember how much it is for. It might be the same for the werewolf, but it takes actually. This might make you laugh a little, James. It takes 156 kills to complete all the trees on at least on the vampire side, I know. So
Which, if you've done the Civil War, you can take care of just by deciding to wipe out the other side's camps.
And yeah, so that's my suggestion, is to do a few of the side quests, play around with it, enjoy it, and start working on the main storyline of Dawnguard.
yeah, the one recommendation I'd have, now that you mention it, is that I would recommend taking a character into Dawnguard that's in the mid-30s level-wise, because I started that around level 52 or 3. It just was not that challenging. I mean, basically my character just ran through everything like a knife through butter. It was just not hard for him. Whereas when I went through with my character that I decided to play on the vampire side, that character started at level 39, and I had to actually think about my play style on that side, because there were things that were tough. I couldn't just charge everything. I had to actually stop and think. With the Dawnguard side of it, where I took my level 52 guy, he just walked and waltzed his way through. The only thing that gave me a little bit of trouble was that fight against all the ice creatures, and that was because I used up a crap load of potions just getting my stamina back up. But other than that, basically I didn't have any real trouble.
You can also be way too low level.
Yeah, that's why I said mid-30s. I'd say if you're down around 25 or lower, you're probably going to be way too challenged. But if you're around 35, I think it'd actually be pretty cool.
I would agree with you both there.
What do you guys think the next one's gonna be?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I'm going to echo Michael on this one. I'm hoping that they do a DLC, whether it's the next one or further down. I want to see something that goes back to the Civil War quest line and resolves that.
Yep, I've heard you guys talk about that, and I would agree. Have some sort of conclusion or something. I mean, what's the point of taking over all those holds and being the leader of everything, and then finishing the Civil War, and then what? That's it.
Yeah, I want to see some resolution to that. I mean, maybe they won't do it, but that's what I would like to see. I'd like to see some resolution of that. And other than that, I'm not sure. I'm waiting to see what they do, because I'm hoping that what's gone on here is, and I didn't play these things at the time. I played all the stuff for Oblivion after the fact, but the parallel I hope is being followed here is the Dawn Guard. While it's fun, I liked it, but it's not the best DLC ever. I'm hoping that it's more akin to Knights of the Nine from Oblivion, where that was an okay thing, but it was basically an add-in where nothing new happened in the game. They just added sort of interstitial into the game. And then later they came out with Shivering Isles, which was huge. And I'm kind of hoping that's what they do here. I'm hoping the next one is much bigger and much more involved than this.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
In my opinion, I think it'd be cool to, they were mentioning about how the snow elves might have smaller pockets. Well, what if the Dwemer have some pockets too, and they all came together and there was a, Dwemer mass? That'd be interesting to kind of continue on the Dawnguard's hint of snow elves
Yeah,
being there.
that'd be kind of cool. Be kind of cool if you had some real snow elves, and then you also had, I don't know, some Dwemer who were leading some of the robots out somewhere.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you for
Hey,
having
yeah.
me.
Yeah, me.
Missed an episode? Need to subscribe to the iTunes feed? Want to join the Facebook group? Want to follow us on Twitter? Want to join the Steam group? Find all of these links and more at www.jarober.com/thumcast. That's thumcast. And that's it for now.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.